The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Here's our show called Mission Minded. You hear it every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your podcast. And we're on every major industry. We're on every industry, period, out there. Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Check us out. Google it. And you'll find Mission Minded. Keep in mind your mission, your mind. He's Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission as well. Michael, how are you, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing great today, ready to kind of tackle this topic that's in the news a lot.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to think that nothing new has come out in the last 50 years. We just have a name for it now. And I'm not so sure, and this is going to be interesting because you just started the Montgomery Food Bank about 2 months ago. And whenever you start a new position, obviously you need to learn and teach yourself about your new employees and how they work, and you weed things out, you add things, and of course I know you're very aggressive when it comes to your success and what you do to become successful wherever you're working. And I know you've done a lot of non-for-profit stuff, but we could certainly talk about the non-for-profit platform while we're talking about quiet quitting, but let's talk also about just a regular business. I'm not so sure right now, if I had $3 or $4 million, I'd want to open up a service industry type of business if I had to employ 20 or 25 people, because I don't know what I'd be getting. That's the labor market is just so weird right now. So let's just go with quiet quitting, quiet firing, whatever you want to call it. Is this employers not understanding their employees' needs, or is it employees just plain bullying their way into higher benefits because right now they can? What's your overall view when you heard what quiet quitting or quiet firing was all about?
Yeah, so I don't think it's just like the Bible tells us, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, those words were uttered almost 3,000 years ago by King Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just put different names on it, different labels on it, and it sounds new. But a lot of this is really not new. What is new is kind of our generational breakdown. So I'm right there on the edge of Gen X and a baby boomer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're shaped by how we're raised and what our value systems are and what the expectations were. With each generation comes along, they seem to have a different focus, a different set of values, different set of ideals. And oftentimes they simply don't match. And it's hard for us to reconcile and understand because we're trying to filter their experience and their understanding of what we're seeing through how we were raised. And so it's very quick for us. I mean, very easy for us to jump up there and condemn it. And I'll admit there's some incredibly challenging things and difficult things as to how young people today seem to look at the workplace. But with every generation, there's a new idea of how to do things. And bottom line is, regardless of how we got there, we're here. And so employers have, just like you said, a very, very real challenge of bringing in qualified people and expecting them to always be there to show this deep loyalty towards an organization. You know, we saw people in our generation, you start when you're 18 years old, you work for a company, you give it everything you've got, you're home at night sometimes doing work, or you take your work home, you work on the weekends, you're always available to take calls. And the truth of the matter is, we probably, my generation, did not set healthy boundaries because, in part because we got so much value in our work and it defined who we are, and we were competing for this, for the next bonus or the next pay raise or the next position as we climbed our way up the ladder. And the generations today just have a different view of it. And so that's what a lot of this quiet quitting is. They're not going to do the same things. They're not going to take their work home. And And so it's a challenge for people like me.
And let's back it up a little bit too, because you just mentioned a lot of very important words. You mentioned work ethic. You mentioned values. I don't know. My dad threw newspapers for 37 years and didn't miss a day of work in 37 years. He did what he had to do to support his family of six. It wasn't obviously a job that he loved. He came home, his hands were black from throwing newspapers all night long, but he never complained about it. He always felt grateful and blessed that he had a job that could provide enough for his family. They went on vacations and we did things. You know, I got a bicycle for Christmas. We had the good life. It really was good. And it's obviously different now, but I don't know too many people. And listen, I don't want to paint every millennial right now, 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds that are in college as I'm not going to paint them into a corner and say this whole new generation is just lazy or they don't want to work more than that. Cause right. I know there's great kids out there. Like there was in my senior class in 1984. I do think there is a better opportunity right now for our youngsters, if they want to get ahead, that they can put in the extra work. I'm all about being the first on the field and the last off the field, or the first in the office and off the. And by teaching that early in life, it does start habits that are pretty much lifelong, right? I mean, if you're 19 or 20 years old and you're super lazy now, it's not to say one day you can't be a super successful person, the owner of you know, a great business. But if you start those values early in life, it seems like they last a lot longer. Then you can always back off a little bit. And to your point, I do think there was a lot of blurred lines in that baby boomer platform there where sometimes they do, but back then you probably had to work longer hours than you had to. So let me, and we're going to get into quiet quitting. We're going to get into a quiet firing, because I think it goes both ways. I think the most important thing that a lot of people aren't doing right now, and you're really good at that, is communicating.
Yes.
You know, I mean, listen, it's human nature to do the least amount of work to get the most product out of whatever you're doing. We all realize that. If we can work 2 hours a day and not have to go to the office for 10, I certainly understand that. And I think that's why this four-day work week is working out really well for a lot of people. They want more time off, and I get that. But this ain't the steel mills of 1920, where guys are being made to work 17 hours a day and the conditions were horrible. I mean, life's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, It's definitely an environment where the employees, especially younger employees, have the advantage that they didn't before. It was like, you do anything, just give me anything, let me get my foot in the door. And now they come in with a lot more expectation. Some would refer to that as almost like a sense of privilege. They've never had to fight through oftentimes, because it goes back to a lot of the home lives that they come from, which is kind of a privileged existence. You go off to college, you have everything paid for, you have the best of all worlds. You've never really had to face adversity until you get 23 or 24 years old, and you think that's what life is. And so you walk into that, and you know, and you kind of bring some of that over, some of that, you know, this is the way I want it. You know, if I come to work for you, you know, these are my terms. Now, I will think, let me go back and hit on this, because I don't want to be too critical of that generation or too critical of our generations. I really think, though, when you're looking at an issue like this, I really try to go back and say, okay, from my perspective, what did we do well and where did we fail and what has led to some of this? And I think if you only look at it from a Gen Z or a millennial perspective, then you, as to understand, as to, oh, you just think it's about their attitude. They have a bad attitude. They don't have a work ethic. I think it's a mistake, because I know for a fact people of my generation have faced what it's a term that I call, and I think I talked about a few weeks ago, pack muling. Mm-hmm. And it's human nature that when you're in an organization and you have a go-getter, that you continue because you know they're going to show up every day, they're going to give it their all. You give them more and more work, and you keep putting it on their backs because you know they're dependable, you know they're reliable, and you might give it to another employee, but you're not going to get it as quickly. You're not going to get the work's not going to be done as well. And so we do it. We treat them like a pack mule, in that we just keep loading them down until their knees buckle. And And so that happens. Those are, I have very real examples of people that I've encountered that just said, hey, I've worked as long as I can. It's not that I don't love the work. It's not that I, you know, wanted to necessarily leave. I just didn't have anything else to give. And so we burn people out. And but my generation comes from, hey, just keep giving it to me. You know, I'll do it. And we don't set healthy boundaries the other way. And so because we have failed to set boundaries, and it's like we allow people to pack mule us because that's where we bring our value to the table, where we get our value from. I think what you're seeing is that's one extreme. That what we're seeing coming in now is the other extreme, which is I'm gonna quite quit, or I'm gonna give you minimal effort for the pay that you are. And that's what the frustrating thing is we kind of on some levels we're operating off two extremes, and each extreme is looking at the other extreme going, well, you're really off. You're really. And I think there's a better way for both sides. And it hits on exactly what you talked about, is effectively communicating. And I think that's probably more lacking in the workplace than any other key element.
See, this is really interesting. This is Mission Mind. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. Michael Coleman, the CEO, of course, the Montgomery Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. The show airs every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, wherever you get your podcast. I would have thought, knowing you as well as I do, and I've known you for a couple of years now, we've broken some bread together. I thought maybe you'd be that guy, kind of the get off my lawn kind of guy, because Dr. Josh and I were on Fox 6 last week and I went off on it. And I've always been taught that you do always put that extra effort in, because if you don't, you're never going to get that promotion you believe you deserve. Now, but to your point, if you're in a situation where you're in an entry-level job in a skilled area that you want to work the rest of your life, I'm not talking about working a Kentucky Fried Chicken when you're 15, but unless you want to manage or own your own KFC. But you're in a situation, and you always got there, you certainly got there on time, and you always put the extra effort in. But I saw that a lot in radio. You know, we used to have 20 or 30 people in a radio station 24 hours a day. It was a hotbed. It was fantastic. It was like fire ants. People were passing each other in the hallways. It was wonderful. Now you may have three or four in those same hallways. Right. And what happens is they'll fire a producer or fire a program director, and they'll go, listen, we either don't have the money or we can't find a replacement right now. So you're going to take this job on. You're going to, and I've seen it. I just saw it again last week. You're going to do this job.
I lost you.
Can you got me? Hello. I'm here. You got me? Michael? Michael, can you hear me?
Oh. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you.
Okay. Okay. Let's pick it back up where I was going.
Okay. You were talking about right after you said I would have thought you were somebody like that, and then you started talking about, and then you kind of went into a store, and somewhere in there I lost you.
I got you. Let's go. Here we go. In three, two. So I've seen this firsthand, and to come to your defense a little bit, you know, I worked in the radio industry where there was a period of time where we had 20 to 30 different people working at each radio station. It was a hotbed of activity. It was great. They were like fire ants. I mean, 24 hours a day, people breaking stories, and we had promotions director for each radio station, everything else. And then as we got into voice tracking and automation and then syndication, it started tearing that down, and they could get rid of people, right? And so whenever they fired somebody or a promotions director, they go, listen, well who's going to do traffic continuity? Who's going to put those commercials in? They would go to you and say, well, you know, until we hire somebody, can you please do this for us? And of course, you're a team person, and you
That's
do
right.
it, and then you do such a great job, they never hire anyone else.
They never go back, or it's rare that they go back and compensate you.
No.
For the added value you're bringing. They're just like, well, we just won't hire anybody, and we'll save that money.
Yeah, so let's cut the fat off quitting and quiet firing right now, and let's say this is not an entry-level position, say like your first job. Let's say this is going into a business, maybe you're an intern or something, into the field of work that you see yourself doing for the rest of your life, and you're obviously trying to get ahead. The first word I keep thinking about is loyalty. And what people don't realize is loyalty is a two-way street. Loyalty only works if you're loyal to each other. If I'm loyal to my business and I'm doing everything and I'm loyal, but they know at any given time they can cut me loose for whatever reason, that's not loyalty. Loyalty is a two-way street. So talk about a little bit about loyalty and how dangerous it can be to think that, you know, you're obviously in a loving relationship, quote unquote, at your business, and it sometimes can backfire on you.
Now, you described it perfectly. As loyalty is a two-way street. And so often when you're a business owner, you want the loyalty to all come to you. And so we've seen people, millennials and Gen Z have seen their parents go through all that. And they're like, hey, I'm not going to repeat those same mistakes. The problem is they don't approach it the right way because they don't have the experience. And it comes across as, well, you're lazy, you're shiftless, you don't want to really put in a hard day's work. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And the best way, as you touched on earlier, is to figure that out, is to communicate properly. What I've seen is, in my experience, is everybody ought to demand that when they get hired on the spot, that they're given a job description. Because that is, and employers too, you ought to take the time to give your employees a job description, because it defines what you're paying them for. So if you say, I'm going to pay you $20 an hour or a salary of $40,000 a year, whatever it is, you're telling them, this is what I'm hiring you to do. And then they review that prior to agreeing. And so they either agree, yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not going to do this. Well, if you don't put in there that this job requires evenings or whatever, I don't blame people for saying, look, you know, my evenings are my family time. I have young kids at home, or I have, don't be calling me at 8 o'clock at night every night saying, oh, I would like you to do this, I'd like you to do that. I mean, when you think about that, that's a boundary that we would never set. You know, if our boss called us, we would do whatever the boss asked us to do. And now people are saying, no, when I'm off at 5 o'clock, you know, you've paid me to work from this time to do this work. And I'm going to do that. The problem is sometimes, as I said earlier, the Gen Z people, they don't want to have that conversation. They really struggle sometimes to have tough conversations. And so instead of doing that, that's where the quiet quitting comes in. Well, they don't pay me enough. I'm just not going to put in the effort. That goes back to the value system I was brought up with, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're cleaning toilets, you better be the best toilet cleaner.
Yep.
In the world.
Yep.
And so that's a value that I have, but I'm one who has allowed people to pat mule me because I feel like I'm helpful. And so when I'm being helpful, and then people praise you for being helpful, and so that feels good. And so you're willing to be more helpful. You're willing to be a team player. People like you for that, but you turn around and recognize you're carrying at least two people's jobs on your shoulders, but you're not making any more for it. So I blame businesses for not coming in and recognizing that and trying to put that heavy load on people's shoulders without having a real conversation and helping them. I would just tell you the Jimmy Hill Mission, one example that I had two people that were just outstanding. I had a bookkeeper and then a lady that was receptionist. They kind of worked together. And I recognized that I was asking more and more of them. And so we were going to hire somebody who was going to be our volunteer coordinator. And really all they were going to do is really just consolidate the program and make sure the site directors, you know, I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but just basically it was just really a true coordination effort. And I'm like, well, you know what? I can pay each of them, let's just say $4 more an hour. And that's $8 an hour. Well, I can't hire somebody who's competent for $8 an hour. But they had the bandwidth to be able to take that on. But I was not going to ask them to do that because I was already paying them. I'd already defined what their jobs were, and that's what I was paying them. So how foolish it would have been of me to ask them, hey, you could save us a whole salary and benefits and all that, but then they should reap the rewards of that.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was a win-win. They each made $4 more an hour for a few more hours of work. You know, they got that put on their salary for working maybe, you know, 8 to 10 hours worth of work added into what they were doing. And I got that job done by people that I counted on and believed. So we didn't take advantage of each other. We set that boundary. We set that expectation. And if I'm going to ask you to do more, then I ought to consider, how can I compensate you? And that, And I get, you know, you can negotiate that, what that looks like. That can come in many different forms. But I think that's why it's so vital that everybody has a job description, so they understand this is what I'm paying you for. You've agreed to do that, and I expect you to be your best at that. If I'm asking you to do more, then I should consider some type of compensation to do that. So again, sometimes I lay it at the feet of the business owner who is not properly compensating people and just brings them in and then begins to ask them to do more and more and more. And people are just drawing boundaries. Unfortunately, they're reducing their effectiveness and instead of failing to communicate what those boundaries are.
He is Michael Coleman. Of course, he is the CEO of Montgomery Food Bank. He was with the Jimmy Hale Mission. He's been in non-for-profits his entire life. We're talking business today and Quit It. Quiet quitting and, of course, quiet firing. And we could also get into quiet dumping, also known as gaslighting. People actually are using this quiet phrase in the middle of it. You could almost put that word in front of almost anything right now because a lot of people, quiet dumping is a new relationship term now. Yeah, it's just when you just don't call her back for a period of time because you want out of the relationship, which is super sad. You know, listen, I go by blind faith a lot. I know faith that works is dead, but I always believe that if you're doing the right thing and you're working super hard, that somewhere someone will see that. You may have a boss that is pushing you and like you said, pack muling you to the point, but I mean, eventually you're going to learn a new skill, something new that you wouldn't have if they hadn't asked you to do that job. That's going to take you into a different arena, whatever. I just believe in that. I think hard work always pays off. It never kills. Yeah. It always pays off. So if you are getting into a new job right now, and it seems like everyone's doing that right now with all the job openings, when you talk about communication, what's the best way to, and you just describe, you know, give me a list or give me a description of what this job entails, and that's what I'm going to give you. But if I want to succeed and I want to be promoted, can you give me a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan? When will the possible, because obviously if you're coming in at an entry level job, that's not what you want to do for the rest of your life. You want to own the place. How do you go about that with your superiors?
Yeah. So one of the things I've tried to do proactively is put, when somebody's looking at a job, is to put a pay scale there and to let them know where they are on the pay scale, because a pay scale can let them know the growth potential, even if they don't actually get promoted, the ability to earn more is there. And so that's where you get into things like, okay, you're going to get paid more typically longevity. But even if you have longevity, if you're a minimum worker, like you're not really doing anything to get fired, but you're really not giving anything extra to the company, there's no reason to continue to, you know, give you raises. But I try to let everybody know, look, even if there's not upward movement at the moment, you know, you work hard, you're going to get moved up pay wise. And then I try to help them understand, you know, potentially where the upward movement is. But this is one of my frustrations again with businesses. If I come in, let's say I'm an employee and I come in and I've expressed to you, I want to grow and I'm going to work hard for you, and I do that, but let's say you won't give me more money, then I've seen business owners feel like, oh, people are so disloyal. And I'm like, wait a minute, somebody just gave you 3 years of hard work and you didn't promote them, or you maybe gave them just an insignificant cost of living raise. Why should people be loyal to you when you're not being loyal back to them? I mean, I've had people come to me and say, Michael, I want to make more money. And I've told them, well, in the position you are, you're maxed out. This is all I can afford to pay you. But if they say, okay, well, you understand then I have no choice, that I, you know, for the good of my family, I just have to make more money. I do what I can to try to help them, because if they've been loyal to the company, if they've been a good worker, how in the world can I be frustrated with them to leave to try to do something to their family? I would do the exact same thing. So when somebody comes to me and says, Michael, I've been offered a different job, then I have a decision to make. I can either match that or try to exceed what they're being offered, or I can celebrate the fact that they're moving up in life and and not damage the relationship. But I've seen people who come in, they're not making much money. They go into their boss. They're like, hey, I found, you know, got a family, got a couple of kids. I found a better job, a better paying job. And then the people just almost cut you off as if you're nothing to them. Like, oh, you don't want to stay with us? Well, mm-hmm. Then you're nothing to me. I don't even want to have a conversation with you anymore. And it's the last couple of weeks is just miserable. And that's not proper from a business. People understand if that's who you are and you're just all about the business and you're not all about them, then why in the world should they be? Why should you expect loyalty to your company or to your business or to your project or whatever it is? So we've got to understand that works both ways. But what I have found is that there's more than just pay. So I try to take the time, and I fail at this. I'll be the first to tell you there's times I fail this. I try to invite employees in to understand what their trigger is, what's really important to them. And so I try to build an expectation around what's important to them. So if I know family time is very important to them and I just absolutely am not going to, they're not going to answer a phone call or whatever, I try to respect that. Now, is it frustrating sometimes? Yes. Would I like to handle some business at night? Yes, perhaps. But that's, if I respect them and I'm loyal to them and say, look, it's fine that you set these boundaries. I still want you to be successful in this company. If you're here a year or if you're here 10 years, I want you to move up. I want what's good for you. And when you can convey that, then what you'll find is you're not going to have, I'm not saying it won't exist, but you're not going to have the majority of people quite quitting on you. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to be coached. They're willing to do what you ask them to do. But you just have to make that clear. And they have to understand that you're in it not just to make a bottom dollar, but you're in it for them. And you're taking their values and their what's important to them into account when you're making your decisions.
Michael Coleman joins us right here on Mission Minded every single Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. You can also hear it wherever you listen to your Tony Curry Radio podcast. Just Google it. We're available everywhere. You know, there's something that I think there's a reason why all of a sudden this is cropping up, and it's just absolutely been on fire, taken off. We've been all over television talking about it. We're talking about it today on Mission Minded. But I really believe that because of COVID, because of the pandemic we've had the last 2 or 3 years, that we've all gotten, well, not all of us, but a lot of people have just gotten incredibly passive. And I think that you can put passive with this quiet, as opposed to a lot of people are saying, if you're thinking about getting quiet, that's the time you need to speak up. That's when you need to start talking to people and finding out what they actually expect of you and what you expect of them. It's not being disrespectful. It doesn't mean you're going to quit on a dime. It doesn't mean you're going to not put your 2 weeks in. But what it does mean is, hey, listen, I want to succeed and I want to move on. And in most businesses that I've worked for, depending on what that level of business is and the level of money I'm making, they want to see the best for me too. You know, when I got a chance to go to ESPN, you know, I was working an afternoon job. I was working 50, 60 hours a week. I was getting after it. I was always first in, last out. And I got an opportunity to get ESPN. They wished the best of luck to me. But when I came back, I had a much better job opportunity too, because they wanted to keep me. They didn't want me to leave. And that's a beautiful thing. But you're not going to get that if you're only putting in what's expected of you, if you want to be successful down the road. The last thing, and I know we don't have a ton more time, and I want to get your last thoughts on this. The days of spending 40, 50 years with the same company are over. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. That was the baby boomers. It doesn't exist. We'd all like to think, unless you own your own business at an early age and you can do what you love your entire life, do it. But those days don't exist. And so two things I wanted to bring up. First of all, you got to keep your name out there. There was an interesting email I saw in the New York Post about someone who had gotten laid off, but they were still being paid. Not as much as they were for their salary, and they wanted to update their resume on LinkedIn, but they were afraid their employee would see that, their employer would see that, and think they're looking for a job. Well, yeah. You should be looking for work. You should constantly be. You did it. I mean, you wouldn't be at the Montgomery Food Bank had you not looked. It's not to say you wanted to leave Jimmy Home Mission, but you always got to keep your options open. So always keep your resume out there so your angel could come by and get you. And the other thing is, I think it's lost in a lot of things we're doing right now, is you got to do something that makes you happy. And that doesn't always involve more money. It doesn't always involve more hours, but if you truly enjoy what you're doing in a living, it's going to work out pretty good.
Yeah. And sometimes I get it. You know, you have certain circumstances, certain expenses and stuff like that, and you have to do a job maybe for a short amount of time that you're really not passionate about, but it pays the bills in a way that you, you know, well, that all comes down to your choice. You can, if you want a higher standard of living, sometimes that means, hey, I'm doing something that maybe I don't love, but it pays well. And that's worth it to some people. That's not my value system, but I don't condemn people who do feel that way. I think it's much more important to enjoy every day. But before we sign off, I do want to, you had mentioned about quiet firing, and I wanted to just convey this to you.
Yeah.
Back when I was doing workforce development with people in poverty, I found out all the time, and I had this young girl that came to me. I'll never forget it. She was about 19 years old, and I said, have you worked, are you currently working? She said, yes, I'm working at McDonald's. And I said, oh, she said, no. She said, my last job was at McDonald's. And I said, how long were you at McDonald's? And she said, 3 weeks. And I said, oh, 3 weeks. And I said, well, why'd you get fired from McDonald's? And she said, oh, she interrupted. Oh, I didn't get fired. And I said, oh, you didn't get fired? She said, no, they just didn't schedule me anymore. And I said, so I stopped for a second and I said, well, that McDonald's is still there, right? And she said, yes. And I said, so they are scheduling people. They need people to work. And she said, yes. And I said, but they stopped scheduling you. Mm-hmm. And right at that time, I could see the dots were connecting in her mind. But here's the real shame, is that she had no idea that she was doing anything wrong, because when you're in things like the fast food business, service industry, you whittle through people. There's no development. There's no sitting down, talking to them, building relationships, helping them establish goals, giving them training. You come in. And let's say they've got challenges with being to work on time. And, you know, you just don't have time for that. You're too busy, you know, processing orders. And so when somebody doesn't come in, you're just like, you just throw them away like trash, like this young girl. But they never took the time to say, hey, we've got to have you on time. You're not on time. How can we help you be on time? And the reality is there's just some of those people out there that just do need some help, do need assistance. So the company's view was, I don't have time for all this. I don't have time for training. I'm not going to invest in all that. The bottom line is, I need you to be here. If you can't be here, go sort out your own life. I'm getting rid of you. And most people would say, well, you know, that's work life. Well, why then would somebody who does come in and earns a paycheck, and they're clearly earning it in the fast food industry, as most of us know, why would they do anything extra for a company that's only just a bottom line company? For the only reason that they're still working is because they're doing everything the company wants them to do, but there's not necessarily a relationship. So they know they could equally be silently fired just by being written out of the schedule. And they may work there for years and then leave there no better off in life. And so it's not to say that the company owes them anything, but what I'm saying is, if you want a different type of employee, then you need to be a different type of company. You don't owe them anything, but it just works both ways. You cannot have expectations on one end of the spectrum. Millennials cannot have expectations of an owner like, hey, you need to roll out the red carpet every day when I show up to work and celebrate the fact I got out of bed, got a shower, and made it in on time. But it works both ways. And that just goes right back to what we've been saying all along is, hey, sit down and have a conversation, and you don't have to make demands. You're just conveying, here's what's important to me. Yeah. And so given that, where do I fit in the company? And you hope that, and you just hope that your boss is honest with you and helps you navigate and cares enough to say, hey, I appreciate the fact those are your values and there is a place for you here. And how can we get you here to work hard? That's going to be the expectation, but also respect the boundaries that you have so that both people win in this. And because of that, because we're not doing that, you either see a company's abuse employees or a lot of employees just kind of hanging back, not getting, companies are not getting the productivity they're paying for. And so that's really, that dynamic's not going to change until we come to the table and have some real conversations.
You nailed it, Michael. Again, great show this week. Mission Minded here at every single morning at 10 o'clock right here on TKR and wherever you get your podcast. Michael, till next week, man. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
Enjoyed it as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.